I see no special announcements having been added up here, so assuming there are none, I'll just let you know that please have a good morning. My name is Dave Cicero. I'm one of the high school RE teachers this year, and you'll hear more about why I am up here and the high school youth as we go. Today's order of service also includes announcements of upcoming LCUC activities and events, and everyone is welcome to attend. LCUC is a UUA-affirmed welcoming congregation, and we're open to all people, regardless of whom they love or how they present gender. Please come and explore what community can mean for you. Please take a moment at this point to silence all electronics you may have here with you today as we begin our service. Thank you.
Our chalice lighter come up now. Do you wish to rise? Begin by descending. You plan a tower that will pierce the clouds. Lay first the foundation of humility.
Every person that you know, knows something that you don't. Learn from them.
Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less.
If only I had a little humility, it would be perfect.
I'm sure I'm wrong about many things, although I'm not exactly sure which things I'm wrong about. I'm even sure I'm wrong about what I think I'm right about, at least in some cases.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn, Amazing Grace, number 205 in the Gray Hymnal.
Thank you.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Zachary Senninger, and I am one of the high school RE worship leaders for this morning's service. Last fall, the Worship Arts Committee invited the LCUUC high school students to plan and deliver a service. We accepted that invitation, and today's service is the result. Whether you are with us for the day or here for a lifetime, we are glad you have chosen to join us for worship, community, reflection, celebration. Please take a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the people around you this morning.
My name is Cole Pesky, and our opening words today are taken from an article written by a Texas sports editor named Ted Buss. We live in a world of arrogance, where feelings of conceit, superiority, and egotism lead to anger and hostility. There is, however, a cure for these cultural woes that is so simple you can spell it out in 8 easy letters: humility. The exact opposite of arrogance. Humility brings folks together. Arrogance drives wedges between them. Katharine Graham, the distinguished publisher of the Washington Post, held luncheons that drew renowned statesmen from around the world. Miss Graham was once asked by a reporter what she considered the single most important trait of a great leader. Without pause, Graham answered, "The absence of arrogance." She went on to say that the world's best leaders are gracious, not grandiose. Humility listens, arrogance talks. Humility opens hearts, arrogance builds walls. Humble leaders serve others, arrogant leaders serve themselves. What a simple solution to an incredibly difficult task for all of us. Now, how's that song go?
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I used to have me a girlfriend, but I guess she just couldn't compete with all of these love-starved women who keep clamoring at my feet. Well, I probably could find me another. I guess they're all in awe of me. Who cares? I never get lonesome, and I treasure my own company. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can. I guess you could say I'm a loner, a cowboy outlaw, tough and proud. I could have lots of friends if I wanted, but then I wouldn't stand out from the crowd. Some folks say that I'm egotistical. Heck, I don't even know what that means. I guess it has something to do with the way that I fill out my skin-tight blue jeans. Now, if any of you feel like I do, feel free to join in on the final chorus. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way.
When you're perfect in every way.
Can't wait to look in the mirror.
I can't wait to look in the mirror.
I get better looking each day.
I get better looking each day.
To know me is to love me.
To know me is to love me.
Must be one heck of a man.
Must be one heck of a man.
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble.
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble.
But I'm doing the best.
But I'm doing the best that I can.
My name is Bjorn Larsen. We at Lake Country UU Church do our best to help children learn to give generously and with an open heart. One of the ways we do this is by collecting non-perishable food items each week for local food pantries. If you have food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service, or better yet, ask a child to bring them forward for you. And I invite all children to stay up front to enjoy a story. Long, long ago, in the land of Israel, lived a farmer named Seth. Seth had two sons, Dan and Joel. Every spring and every fall, Seth plowed the earth. From the time they were little boys, Dan and Joel followed him, planting the seeds. When the wheat was ripe, Seth took his sickle and cut it down. The boys helped him tie it in bundles and load it onto their donkeys. Then they rode it to the threshing floor and piled the wheat high. Dan and Joel grew and grew until they were taller than the plow, taller than the wheat, taller than their father. After their father died, Dan and Joel divided the land. Each built a house. Joel married a lovely woman named Miriam. Dan did not marry. He lived alone. Time passed. Miriam and Joel had three sons. Joel added rooms to his house. His sons helped their father, just as Dan and Joel had helped their father. When Joel's boys were 12 and 10 and 3 years old, there came a bad year. The rains did not fall. The wheat dried up. There were not many bundles of wheat on the threshing floor. One night, Joel could not sleep. "What's the matter?" said Miriam. "I am thinking about my brother. He is all alone. You and I have sons to take care of us when we are old. Dan has nobody. Yet we have the same amount of land and the same amount of wheat. It isn't fair." "What will you do about it?" asked Miriam. "I know," answered Joel. "I will take some of my wheat to my brother." It was almost midnight. In the quiet of the dark night, he took wheat to his brother's threshing floor and silently went home. On the same night, Dan could not sleep. He was thinking about his brother. "My brother Joel has a wife and three children. He has five people to feed, and I only have myself. Yet he has the same amount of land. It isn't fair," he thought. Quietly, he got out of bed, loaded his donkey with wheat, and took it to his brother's threshing floor. In the morning, Joel looked at his wheat. He rubbed his eyes. "Can it be? There is just as much wheat here today as there was yesterday. I must take more to Dan tonight." In the morning, Dan too looked at his wheat. He rubbed his eyes. "I did not take my brother as much wheat as I meant to," he thought. That night again, Joel took wheat to Dan, and Dan took wheat to Joel. In the morning, each had as much wheat as they had the day before. Joel told his family what happened. "Tonight we will help you," said Miriam and the boys. That night, Joel awakened Miriam and the boys. "It is time," he said. They loaded the donkey, and Joel, Miriam, and the boys carried as much wheat as they could. That night, Dan started out with his load of wheat at the same time as Joel. They met halfway at the place where their farms joined. Without saying a word, they dropped their bundles of wheat and hugged each other. Then they heard a soft voice that came from everywhere and nowhere, singing, "How good it is for brothers to live together in friendship." Thank you for listening to our story. And we're going to stay in the service today, so you can go back to your seats.
My name is Rhiannon. The weekly offering is a sacrament of the Free Church, celebrating the both generosity and gratitude. Most pledging members give monthly and online to sustain the work of this church, but the offering we share each Sunday is about more than financial contribution. It is an opportunity to recommit to this place and to the people every week. If you can, please consider dropping even just a few coins into the basket as a symbol of your dedication to this community and to the values of our faith. The morning offering will now be given and received.
It's hot, eat a root beer popsicle. Shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sunshine always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line always stay humble and kind.
Thank you for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. My name is Shelby. This is the time in our service when we celebrate the great joys and recognize the profound sorrows of our lives. Before the service, you are always welcome to silently light a candle on the candle table. Right now, we light a candle to symbolize all the wonderful events and accomplishments we are celebrating this week. And we light another to solemnly remember that we also have concerns that weigh on our hearts and minds. May we find connection and comfort in one another as a compassionate and empathetic community.
Our first reading today is by Jeff Boss, a Forbes magazine contributor who writes about leadership and organizational teamwork. Humble people can receive a bad rap. Humility is frequently associated with being too passive, submissive, or insecure. But this couldn't be further from the truth. Instead, humble people are quite the opposite, confident and competent in themselves. So much that, as a result, they seek to self-actualize by helping others. Humble people don't feel the need to boast about themselves, but instead let their actions speak for their ideals. To be humble is not to think less of oneself, but to think of oneself less. To help identify what humble looks like and how you can adopt greater humility for yourself, after all, who doesn't need greater humility? Here are some key habits of humble people. They make difficult decisions with ease. Since humble people put others' needs before their own, when faced with difficult decisions, they respect the moral and ethical boundaries that govern the decision and base their decision-making on a sense of shared purpose rather than self-interest. They listen. There's nothing more annoying than being in a conversation with somebody who you can just tell is dying to get his or her words in. When you see their mental gears spinning, it's a sign they're not listening, but rather waiting to speak. Why? Because they believe that what they're saying is more valuable than listening to you. In other words, they're placing their self-interest first. Humble people, however, actively listen to others before summarizing the conversation. Moreover, humble people don't try to dominate a conversation or talk over people. They're eager to understand others because they're curious. They speak their minds. While active listening is certainly important, humble people aren't afraid to speak their minds because being wrong is not a fear that they have. They know that to bridge the gap between unwillingness and willingness, there must be action. They summon the courage to face difficulty as they graciously accept to sacrifice themselves. They start sentences with you rather than I. Humble people put others at the forefront of their thoughts. Humble people brag about others, while the prideful people brag about themselves. They assume responsibility. Rather than assigning blame to the system or the behaviors of others, humble people assume responsibility by speaking up and owning their part. They ask for help. Part of being humble means realizing that you don't have all the answers. No one does. Humble people acknowledge what they do and do not enlist help for the latter. Humility displays a willingness to learn and become better, two things that everyone can cultivate. How is humility valued in this community? Here ends the first reading.
While preparing for today's topic, we did an activity in our classroom called Where Do You Stand? We indicated our gut reactions to certain words related to humility by placing ourselves along a line when each word was said out loud. One end of the line representing very positive and the other represented very negative. By doing so, we would move around and quickly see and compare how each of us felt about the idea without having to put words to our feelings. We thought it would make for a good reflection activity today, but realized that getting everyone in the congregation to move and form a line a dozen times or so might take a while. So here's what we're going to do instead. When I say a word for which you have a negative attitude, stay or get small, low, hunched down in your seats. If a word has a positive connotation for you, get big, stand in the air, or raise your hand. And if it has a really positive meaning for you, get really big. Raise or wave both arms and maybe even a colorful hymnal or order of service to indicate your enthusiasm. Here we go. First, some synonyms of the word humble. Modest. Submissive. Considerate. Obedient. Respectful. Now some antonyms. Arrogant. Confident. Egotistical, assertive. I think you can see that we all have slightly different reactions to these words, even among those that have similar meanings. The concept of humility is a complex one. Each distinction brings up memories or reminds us of who we are or who we'd like to be or not be. Today we reflect on the values of being humble as we strive to live our UU principles.
We have lived by the assumption that what was good for us would be good for the world, and this has been based on even flimsier assumption that we could know with any certainty what was good even for us. We have fulfilled the danger of this by making our personal pride and greed the standard of our behavior toward the world, to the incalculable disadvantage of the world and to every living thing in it. And now, perhaps very close to too late, our great error has become clear. We have been wrong. We must change our lives so that it will be possible to live by the country's contrary assumption that what is good for the world will be good for us. And that requires what we make the effort to know the world and to learn what is good for it. We must learn to cooperate in the world's processes and to yield to its limits. But even more important, we must learn to acknowledge that the world is full of mystery. We will never entirely understand it. We must abandon arrogance and stand in awe. We must recover the sense of the majesty of creation and the ability to be worshipful in its presence. For I do not doubt that it is only on the condition of humility and reverence before the world that our species will be able to remain in it. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our centering hymn, If We Must Talk of Thoughts and Prayers. The words are in your order of service.
This is the point in our worship service where the minister or speaker gives a long talk. Instead of a traditional sermon today, we have a video to share with you. We put it together ourselves with Rhiannon editing the final version. It will describe the service trip our group made to Washington, D.C. last summer and includes reflections we've made recently on the value of humility in helping and communicating with others. We hope you enjoy it.
Hello, my name is Phil Smith, and I've been an RE teacher at LCUUC for about 20 years or so. I taught my kids. They've all grown and moved on. Way back when, but last 3 or 4 years I've been teaching the high school RE program. Last July, I was one of 4 teachers to accompany 7 of our high school youth to the Steinbrook Center in Washington, D.C. And that center both does education and social action in the D.C. area. So when we were there, we did a variety of workshops on race, poverty, and homelessness. We helped out at a neighborhood fiesta celebration hosted by the Steinbrück Center. It's pretty cool. We cooked food and served a homeless at one of the shelters. And one of their favorite things to do was stocking and organizing furniture, household goods, and clothing at a store I think was called the Wider Circle. It was a store for anybody in need. Just come sign up and walk away with what you need. So great, great store and idea there. And then last but not least, the youth lobbied aides to our representatives, Paul Ryan and Ron Johnson, one of their more favorite things to do. So youth trips for me have always been one of my favorite things to do. We've gone to Appalachia 2 times. We've gone done Hurricane Katrina relief. We even went to Colorado to do trail maintenance. And they're special trips in that you really get to know the youth. You get to see them mature in front of your eyes sometimes. You get to see who they are and their passion, which I love. Very humbling, actually, too, to see what these kids know and how they can express their ideas. So I wanted to talk a little bit about humility. And it is a tough virtue to display sometimes. We had an interesting situation happen during the lobbying. Our youth had presented their views on a variety of subjects, and those are, as you might imagine, progressive views. And to their consternation, though, the aides to the representatives, Johnson and Paul Ryan, pushed back and stated their views rather strongly. And our youth listened humbly and politely. Well, I should say most of our youth. I did hear, although I wasn't actually in there at the time, we wanted the youth to take the lead. But I did hear that at least one of our youth pushed back rather strongly, very passionately, with a lot of force and vigor. And perhaps not so humbly. but anyway, that gets at the crux of the issue, I think, on humbleness. And I think the key is through most of our lives, we should be humble. We should be polite, respectful, quiet, listen well. And that's really the key. But there are certainly times where you have to set aside that quiet humility and speak up for the things that you believe, and speak up strongly. And you're not being humble then. You're being forceful. You're saying, hey, I passionately believe in this. And that's cool. It's like yin yang. There's a balance in everything. And so my point of view is be humble most of the time. And like I said, be respectful, listen well. But when you need to speak up, go for it. Anyway, thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to be an RIE teacher. Bye-bye.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to share some thoughts about humility, even though I can't be with you today. You know, the older I get, the more I seem to appreciate humility in other people. Think about watching the Olympics and the athletes who stopped to acknowledge their fans. I had a lot more respect for than those who were pumping their fists in the air and beating their chests about how great they were. I also appreciate the humility it takes to work for nonprofits and help others with no desire to be praised or recognized. And I was able to see a lot of that firsthand this summer when we went to Washington, D.C. with our youth on our service trip. I was humbled by the workers at those places and the volunteers at So Others May Eat and Wider Circle and the Steinbrück Center. But I was also humbled by our youth who couldn't get enough of helping others. In fact, if there was one day that was less than happy, it was when they felt like they weren't doing enough to directly help those in need. You know, to me, humility means not putting yourself above others and recognizing that one shift in circumstances could put you in their shoes. And there's nothing like service to others that helps remind us of that. Thanks.
To me, humility is about recognizing the importance of others and acknowledging your impact on them, whether intentional or not. It is about understanding the importance of helping those in need without seeking compensation or praise. I think that being able to provide genuine support to someone in any way can be incredibly impactful, especially in a time when those in power seem to lack this ability. The cost of living is not attainable to many. seizing the opportunity to help and recognizing these inequalities that exist is so important. I feel that by addressing the issues of being removed from or indifferent to the suffering of others, we can start to build a world that might contain a hint of an optimistic future.
To me, humility is the practice of looking outside myself to appreciate the things that other people can bring to the table. Because at its core, I think humility is ultimately just a different expression of empathy. To sell myself as anything better than my shortcomings, I think would be disingenuous, and it would, in a way, tarnish the humanity that we all share, in that we're all very imperfect, but together we can come together with great strength. And I think to be humble is to appreciate the unexpected contributions that others can make, and our collective power as human beings to come together and incite change.
Humility to me is understanding there's more than just you. It's reaching out and helping the people around you and recognizing what the people around you do, not doing it for your own self-glory or recognition. It's basically being selfless and not bragging about yourself and the great things you do, and not even mentioning these things if you don't need to. More focusing on what the world may do, because there are incredible people in this world. Humble's not thinking of yourself as some elevated character who deserves boundless things and who works harder than everybody else. Being humble is viewing yourself as just yourself and viewing others as incredible people.
I believe that humility is the quality that lets us go more than halfway to meet the needs and demands of others while still having a sense of respect and self-love for yourself. And I've experienced humility, I feel like, a lot in my life. I have been pretty successful in the sports that I play, but have to stay humble. I actually end up minimizing my accomplishments by not really mentioning them to people or really taking responsibility for it. And I've done this on like scholarship applications where my mom will look at essays and she'll be like, honey, you have to say more about yourself and your accomplishments and what you've done. You sound like you're kind of bashing yourself. I think there are times to be humble, and there are times to accept and love who you are and what you have accomplished. I think overall today in America, we do have a bit of humility as an American value, but not as much as there should be. I mean, our president is prime example of someone who needs to display a little more humility in his life by taking responsibility for his actions and being more humble in what he does accomplish. Our society could really benefit in displaying more humility, because it's what leads people to help those less fortunate and to see others' needs above your own.
To a polylog, which is your opportunity to contribute a thought about today's topic. We've already posed a couple questions throughout the service today, or you might reflect on what role humility plays in your ability to do the work of this church. If you'd like to participate, raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. Please state your name and limit yourself to a few sentences so that all who wish to speak can speak.
Hi, this is Gus. I couldn't pass this topic up, so I had to say something wonderful about myself. But one of the things that G.K. Chesterton once said when he was asked, when he converted to Catholicism, you know, why did you go to that church? And Chesterton said, because I want to have my sins forgiven. One thing about being raised a Roman Catholic myself is that I kind of miss that ritual, not just confession, but some of the other rituals, but especially confession, where a person speaks about their limitations. And I kind of miss that. So the readings pointed out that a person shouldn't be, ready to speak when they're trying to, or think that they're listening to somebody else and they've already got planned out what they want to say. I'm very guilty of that. I'm being serious about this. I know, it's shocking, isn't it? I do think I know it all, and clearly I don't. And I don't know, I feel a need to say this in front of the congregation, to say that this is something I'm working on, I'm aware of it, and I also thank the congregation for being patient with me, because I know there's a lot of times I see looks on people's faces. They're kind of like rolling their eyes. So anyway, that's my confession for the day.
Gus, we forgive you.
Gus, this is Greg. They don't just roll your eyes, their eyes at you. I'm in that boat, too.
So it's probably the opposite of what you're trying to do, but I just have to say that you guys should be really proud of yourselves. I'm so impressed with how articulate you all are and how thoughtful and deep and, oh my goodness. So having said that, I think it's an interesting question of like the last young lady said on the screen, how do you own in a healthy way what your gifts are? Because I don't think any of you or any of us should depreciate ourselves, because I think our gifts are God-given, And I don't think God wants us to make ourselves small. But what I think is that we shouldn't use them in a way that oppresses or diminishes anyone else's gifts. I guess that's my sense of humility is, you should be all you can. You should develop all of your gifts and sort of like give them, give them out into the world, I think, and shine. But don't be, like a president is about things. So anyway, I don't know, that's my take on it. And I just want to thank you for this. This is a beautiful, beautiful service.
And if this is on, I'll interject that as high school teacher, we inherit these students from the teachers of the pre-K to second grade group and the third to fifth grade group and the middle school group. So Chris Rollins, as director of religious education, really coordinates with all the teachers throughout that process. And we are just enhancing what parents are doing at home, too. So, I, too, have been very impressed with the responses of our students. But, I'm not going to take credit for it. It's a whole village that has brought these people to where they are.
Being so humble, Dave.
About that whole village idea, I just want to take a moment to thank again the congregation. Back when we were trying to raise money for this trip, many of you donated to the cause so that these kids could go to Washington, D.C. And I just want to say a special thank you again as someone that benefited by being able to accompany them and watch them and work with them in D.C. Their experience was, I really feel, truly life-changing for them, for what they saw, what they did, what they experienced, who they met, everything. It was really a wonderful thing, and it's due largely in part to your financial and emotional support through all these years that they did what they did. And as a person that was able to just be there as a witness and a collaborator, you would have been as proud as I was to be there.
I'm Janice. I really appreciate the service and the values, the humility I think it's good to think about. I also think it's important to remember, and I really appreciate Gus for talking about the work he has to do, but how hard it is for the people that are maybe need to work more on that or haven't grown to, like, I think we need to also remember not to hate the people that aren't humble, because as difficult as it might be to be around difficult people, it's even harder for them. And just like that song, it's hard to be humble, and he has no friends, and you can feel his pain. So we can be annoyed or laugh at them, but it's, I don't think that's very humble either. So I guess it's just to remember we're all doing the best we can.
Hi, I'm Barb. Hearing all of your stories and the music and everything today is really inspiring. My mom and dad gave my family the greatest gifts of their own humility. It was the core value. And interestingly enough, a lot of times in my life, people take my efforts at humility to be weakness. And I think we all just need to stay centered in the humble approach. And thanks so much for this wonderful program.
Hi, this is Scott. Absolutely. In the years that I've been with the church, the high school kids do an amazing job of, I think, representing themselves, being very eloquent and heartfelt. What you say, you guys, I was very impressed with what you said. As a parent of a couple of kids who are a bit younger than you, fifth grade and seventh grade, I'm starting to think more carefully about the kind of choices they make in terms of their friends. You know, we have a lot of family and friends of my wife and I is that the kids sort of have to be around. But then as they get older, they're making their own choices. And what I would encourage any young person to do is choose friends who are going to be honest with you. You know, help you acknowledge your gifts, but also acknowledge your failings. You know, have that as, maybe I think a couple people said, have that balance. And sometimes friends aren't necessarily so willing to say things that they think might hurt your feelings, but if they mean it in a caring way and they're honest about it, that can only help you in achieving that balance.
Hi there, it's Al. You know, for me, there's no better representation or reminder of the easiness of being humble than my experience with all the youth in this church. I think one of the challenges that I have, and maybe share with Gus, is the fighting back that ego dragon. And I too am on a road of less judgment and openness to others' beliefs, thoughts. But it is a discipline, as you guys were talking about, in terms of being able to empathize and be in the moment and listen rather than to use that conversation or that input as a way to drive what you think is so important that you must share. Obviously, I've shared.
This is Heidi. I think it's been great, the activity that you guys had today, where we were talking about the
synonyms and the antonyms of humility and just the reaction of it. And if you think about it, some of these antonyms go hand in hand with humility. How can you help people if you're not assertive enough to go out and do something, to feel that something needs to happen? You just got to realize that it takes both. And it's always a daily struggle to not assert yourself so much that you're sounding arrogant or anything else. It's something that I found to be, you know, a difficult thing. And it's just great hearing you guys talk about the topic and go through it. So you brought new ideas. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hi there. I'm Max. Hi. And mainly just wanted to share that I wanted to confess that I'm a little bit brash. I sometimes talk over people, and sometimes I get so excited that I just keep on talking and no one else has a chance to talk, which is not good. And I feel like I want to work on that as an individual, to be able to show people, not through only my words, but through my actions, that I appreciate what they have to say and I appreciate who they are as people. And yeah, so I just wanted to share that because I need to work on it desperately. Thank you all. Also, good job, Brianna. I'm so proud of you. Woo.
I'm Eric. I liked the synonyms and antonyms too. And what I'm thinking of is humble doesn't mean giving up. It doesn't mean being meek. I had an experience in school where somebody in my class was my entire personality, but up a notch. It was everything that I wanted to be, and he did it better. And it was humbling. You know, you have experiences that are humbling, but it was also kind of the experience of, I can't do everything, but that I can do one thing, and I can still try, and it means going on and doing your part and recognizing that you can only do what you can do, and that's part of living humbly, I think. It doesn't mean giving up.
Hi, this is Kaya. I just wanted to share that as like a young person in eighth grade, a lot of people my age care about really materialistic things like clothes and expensive things. And sometimes it's really hard to be humble when you don't have everything someone else has. And it's hard to be like, well, my life is great. Why can't I just be happy about that and be happy about the things that I do have, because some people don't have those things. And it's like services like these that make me realize that I should be humble and that I do have a lot and that I have an amazing life, amazing mom, and I don't need more clothes and more TVs in my house. So thank you.
Thank you for your contributions to today's service.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn this week, number 1021 in the teal hymnal, Lean on Me.
Yeah.
religion is to do right, is to love, is to serve, is to think, is to be humble.
Feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind.